Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 1, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And that man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 1.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans and are of the third chapter. Romans chapter 3, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then had the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? If the truth of God had more abundant throughout my life, and for if the truth of God had more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both the Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, holy and righteous God, we have heard it out of our own confession. I believe in the Holy Ghost, and we stand in need in this hour of that Holy Ghost. And we can read that thy servant began to pray, and then that Spirit was sent forth, that thou wouldst then trouble the waters, as we can read in thy word, that thou didst for the healing of those that were sick. Then thy presence was made known, when those waters did move in the sight of all the inhabitants of that hospital. O Lord, that it may also be seen in the midst of us, that it may be felt amongst those that are afflicted, amongst those who are not able to uphold themselves, amongst those that are impotent to heal themselves. As we have read it out of thy holy word, there is none righteous, no, not one. They are all together become filthy. Oh, we are as a cage of unclean birds, when thou wilt open only a little of what is living within the heart of each and every one of us. Oh, then we beseech thee that thou may come in this hour, and that thou may give thy Spirit to work with much power. For there were 7,000 knees in Israel that had not bowed the knee to Baal, that were unknown unto thy servant, but they were known unto thee. For thou wilt always have a remnant, even to the end of the world, and they may be hidden in secret places. They may be so very quiet, and we do not hear or know of them, but they are known by thee. Oh, that thou may so feed them also. Wilt thou look them up in this afternoon hour to give them a little token from heaven, from thy own mouth and from thy dwelling place, that they may know and believe that thou knowest where that they are and who that they are, and that they may receive a little strength upon the journey, which is often too great for them, that thou may increase also the number that is among us. For we can read in thy word that thou hast said unto thy disciples when thou didst send them forth, and lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. And so thou wilt be with that word when it is going forth in uprightness and in truth. Oh, we beseech thee, O Lord, that it may be experienced also among us in this hour, that there may be a new one that is born in Zion, that there may be a new cry that is coming out of the depth of the heart of sin, that there may be a new longing, that there may be a new need, that there may be a new love that is born after thee. For that Spirit worketh how it listeth, as the wind bloweth. Oh, that thou may do it for thy name's sake, a little word of the song, a little word of thy holy book, that thou may give to bring that new life into a dead soul. O Lord, we ask it of thee, according to thy word and according to thy will. Thou sayest that thou wilt answer that which is according unto thy will. O, we beseech thee then for the increase of thy church among us as a congregation, that thou wouldst bless thy word to both young and old, for the heart that is harder than the nether millstone, and there is no man who is dead who is able to give himself life. And thou knowest it also, even from eternity, and thou hast made provision therefore also even unto the end of the world. O, could it please thee then to bless that word this day as we have heard it in these moments? For what advantage then hath the Jew, and what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them are committed the oracles of God. Or we may have them with our children, that we may see and feel something of the preciousness thereof, that we may desire to search them out, and because therein we may found that word that is uttered, uttering the things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. O Lord, thou hast revealed it unto us and unto our children, which is a great wonder for us, because we have more than any that have gone before us transgressed thy laws. We have departed away from thee with all the blessings and with all the privileges that we have received. Then our sin that mounts higher than all the sins of our fathers. O Lord, then who is able to put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? That thou thyself may cause thy spirit to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment in this day. That thy dear Son also may become necessary, precious, and suitable to the heart. Oh, that thou mayest reveal him unto those who can see no way anymore, who are at their wits' end, who draw near unto the gates of death. Oh, that they may cry unto thee in their trouble, and that thou wouldst deliver them out of all their troubles, that they may glorify and magnify thy name, and that they may say with thy church of old, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, look upon our children and upon our youth. Their hearts are tender by nature because they are still yet young. Oh, that thou mayest thyself make them tender in a spiritual way. Oh, that thou wouldst awaken them while they are still young, and that in this hour they may feel something of the power of that spirit of thee. For much is felt of the power of the spirit of darkness in the world in which that we do live. And there is so much drawing by that power. But oh, that thou wouldst become also too strong for our young people. Oh, that thy goodness may lead them to repentance, and that they may feel and see something of the preciousness of the service of the Lord, and that their hearts may be drawn thereby unto thee, the true and the living God. Give men to feel what they miss, what they lack, that we may find it in thee. Wilt thou remember all those that have special needs in the midst of this world, in the midst of the congregation, the denomination, all those that are suffer from serious diseases. And when the messages do come from time to time amongst us as a community, as a congregation, a denomination, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Then thou knowest the fears that can live in the heart of a man. Then that thou wouldst be near unto those that are afflicted, and that thou may reveal thyself in the hour of the greatest need. For thou dost hear the needy when they cry, and save their souls when death draws nigh, and that thou may supply for the widows, and for all those that are afflicted in the mind, and also afflicted with addictions of the body, that thou may supply in their need, and wilt thou give a resisting of the ways of sin, and that thou mayest draw unto thyself, and that thou wouldst fulfill the needs of this life, and make thyself to be felt as he that is able to sustain and provide for time and for eternity. Increase thou the number of thy truly sent servants, for the harvest is great, and the laborers, they are few. And there are those that are older, and there are those of us also that are weak. And the laborers, they are so very many, and we are not able to take them all up, O Lord. Who shall then go before the generation that is to come? For thou dost multiply the blessings amongst us. But then we cannot miss that instruction out of thy holy word, also for the future. Wilt thou give a place in the heart of each and every one at thy footstool to beg of thee, that thou wouldst send men who are truly converted and wrought upon by thee, that may truly fear thy name, that they may be sent forth into thy vineyard, and that also in the midst of our schools, that great need may be filled, binded upon the hearts of our young men especially, that they may give themselves to that work which is in thy kingdom. O Lord, help thou us. Wilt thou give what is necessary in this hour to bring thy word, do strengthen us in the body, do fill our soul with the love of souls, and do fill our heart with the love of thee, and that there may be a blessing to be had out of thy most heavenly store, those storehouses which are yet full, though we lack everything. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 141, the first three stanzas. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. Psalter 141, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation, the Lord has given to each one of us life. What man is he among us? Even what child is there among us that despises life? When we are alive, then we realize and feel the preciousness of life. The dead, they know not anything, we read in God's word. But the living, they feel something of the preciousness of that life. What think we then of life eternal? Have we a desire when we know something of life natural, that we also may receive something of that life eternal? What is life eternal? The Lord Jesus says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Thus, life eternal, that is knowledge. It is the knowledge of God. That knowledge of God is the communion with Him, that is to be in His favor. That is something that man was created in, that man was created with an ability for, that he may have communion with his Maker. This we have lost. This we have forfeited. This we have squandered. This we have thrown away with knowledge in our father Adam. The Lord Jesus, He speaks about the restoration of this knowledge again, this communion again. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. How? Well, that is, He says, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thus, that knowledge of God, that knowledge of the Father, that is to be received through the knowledge of the Son. Thus, in order to be reunited with the Father in His communion, then it is necessary that we be united unto the Son. You say, how is that possible? Well, in the first place, the Lord Himself has made His Son into the Son of Man. And thus it is from the side of the Father, the intent to make it possible that the Son of Man may be united unto His church. But how is it now possible for us to be so united unto the Son that we may become a true branch of that vine, as we read in the Word of God? How is it possible that we may become a true stone of that building? That is such an important question. Why? Because the Lord Jesus says that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into that kingdom of God. Thus there is a false profession of Christ, a false thinking that we are in union with Him. And then there is on the other side a true profession. Thus it is sufficient to make us to tremble and also to examine ourselves whether we be in that faith. This we wish with the Lord's help to consider a little of in this afternoon out of the words of our text, which can be found in Romans 3, The second, the last part of the 20th verse, Romans 3, and the last part of verse 20. These words, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So far the words of our text. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Thus it speaks of the knowledge of sin. First, we want to consider the necessity of this knowledge. And second, we want to consider the means of this knowledge. The knowledge of sin, first, its necessity, and second, the means of it. Thus, the necessity of the knowledge of sin. You say, don't we need another knowledge? Why must we speak about the necessity of the knowledge of sin? Congregation, we read in the Bible that the first world perished. And that first world perished in sight of the ark. Thus, they did not perish because there was no way that was presented to them, because that ark that was built before their very eyes. But that was a people who could not be convinced of sin. It was a people who could not be convinced of the judgment of sin. Not by 120 years of the preaching, the faithful preaching of the servant of the Lord. And that this was the cause that they perished. The Lord Jesus says, the whole, they need not a physician, but they that are sick. Fallen man perishes under the preaching of the gospel. Why? Not because the Lord Jesus says of his sickness, but because of his wholeness. Because we do not read of a sick man in the days of Jesus that came to him and perished. But we read of many that were whole. And despite his presence, despised him and perished. Thus Christ, when he came into the world, he sent a forerunner, one that went before him. Do you know who he was, children? The forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was John the Baptist. Do you know what he is called? What he calls himself even? He knew what he was sent for. He understood his office. Do you know what he calls himself? He calls himself the friend of the bridegroom. What was his task? He knew very well what that task was. He was sent, we read, to go before. He was sent to go in front of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was his purpose? That was to make a way for him. A way in that wilderness that was to make room for him. That when he came, the bridegroom himself, because he said, I am not the bridegroom, I am not the Christ, he says, but I go before him. to prepare that way so that when he would come, then everyone, they would be waiting. They would be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. How must he do that? How must he prepare that way? Well, he must preach. And what must he preach? Well, we read that he preached the baptism of repentance. Thus, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thus, when he preached repentance, then it was necessary that he preaches sin. Because repentance, that is a turning away from sin. It is an acknowledgement of sin. Thus, that is what is going before. That is what is making room for Christ. That is what is making room for that physician. That is what is making room for that ark. Thus, we see in the first place the necessity of the knowledge of sin, that is in order to the knowledge of Christ, which is in order to the knowledge of God the Father. Thus, congregation, do we profess a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we profess to have seen something of him? Do we profess to know him? Then we may ask, how did that happen in your life? How is that? That you have come to know something of him. How is that that you have come to love him? How is that you have come to see something of the preciousness in that mediator? What was it that went before? What was it that made room for him, as we read in the Word of God? Was there room for him made by the knowledge of sin? That you saw something in him of preciousness, of beauty, of suitability? If not, then we must say, then you should put a question mark. Then you should put a question mark in your life about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the Savior of his church. And the Savior of his church comes to deliver his church from what? From sin. That is the very office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the love unto him that is not born in the heart of a man merely for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No, because Christ, he says of himself to the Father, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Thus, there is a purpose, the Son says, that I have come unto this earth, and now Christ, he will be known unto that church as what? He will be known and he will be experienced as the mediator. That is the mediator between God and their own soul. Thus, it does not begin with Christ in the life of his people, but it begins with God himself. It begins with a knowledge, it begins with a feeling sense of that separation in our life, in our heart, from God himself. us. Do we ever feel this? Do we ever feel anything of the lack that we have above all the beasts of the field? Because those beasts, they were not created to commune with God. And therefore, they cannot sin against that moral law as man is able to do. And they cannot distance themselves, they cannot make a separation between God and themselves, as man is able to do. But man, he was created able and in that communion, and therefore do we feel something of that which we have lost? And does this great loss in our life grieve us? Do you ever lay on your bed, young people? Do you ever lay on your bed without your technology and just think and just meditate? To meditate about where that you have come from, to meditate about where you are going, to meditate about your purpose in this life. That you may meditate about the height of your creation, and that you may feel something of the depth, the utter depth of your fall. If we will be united again unto the Father, then we need to know what it is that actually separates us from God the Father. What is that? That is sin. It must separate us. Why? Because of the holiness of God. Because he is not able to dwell with sin. And therefore we read that there is nothing unclean that shall enter into that kingdom of God. Paul, he speaks about sin becoming exceeding sinful. You say, how can sin become exceeding sinful? Is not sin exceeding sinful in itself? Indeed. And to the Lord, it is every moment. It is with great feeling. It is in its reality known and experienced from the side of God in all of its filth, in all of its evil, in all of its sinfulness, and that therefore the Lord is not able to dwell with sin. But how is it with us? Oh, we do not feel this by nature. No, in our eyes, sin that is something, well, that is something that actually belongs now to our fallen nature, doesn't it? It is something that we so easily can gloss over. That commandment of the Lord, that means not so much unto us. That is, congregation, what has to change in our life? That is our view of sin. It is not merely external knowledge of sin that we need. No, we need a grief in our heart. Because we can know sin and not grieve over sin. But if the Lord, he is planting love in our heart, do you ever feel any love in your heart, children, young people? We read in the Bible that the goodness of the Lord that leadeth thee to repentance. Do you ever feel something of the goodness of the Lord in your life? Does that goodness of the Lord never break your heart? Does it never draw your heart out after him? That you may return unto him again, that you may love him with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul. Because if only that love may be planted in our heart, then we will grieve over that which separates our soul from the Lord. Then we will grieve over sin in our life. And this is now that knowledge of sin that we stand in need of, because it is now this knowledge of sin by which our heart will begin to weep, will begin to mourn. You say, how can I change that? How can I view sin in a different manner? How can I come then to that true knowledge of sin which is so necessary in my life? That is what the scriptures tell us. And that is what we consider in our second thought. What does Paul say? Paul, he says that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. So how does sin become exceeding sinful in our eyes? Well, he says that that sin that becomes exceeding sinful in the eyes of a man, when before he had never seen, when he had never felt the exceeding sinfulness of that sin as God sees it in his eyes, Paul says it becomes exceeding sinful by the commandment. Thus, that is the same as we read here in the words of our text. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Thus, we see now the importance of the law. The importance of the law in the salvation of a sinner. Do we know something of the importance of that law in our own life? You say you want to be converted. Do you want to be converted? Then, congregation, we have to read the law. Why? Because in the law is revealed to us what our broken relation is. In the law, we read the cause of our death. In the law, we read the cause of our curse. In the law, we read the cause of the wrath of God. What is the law? Paul, he says, where no law is, there is no transgression. Young people, if your father or your mother, they say you have to be home at 10 o'clock in the evening, then it is possible for you to transgress. But if your father and mother, they say, well, there is no time, we say to you, you may come home anytime you like, there is no law, then it is not possible for you to transgress. Thus, we read, where no law is, there is no transgression. What do you think about law, young people? What do you think about law? Do you say, maybe I wish there was no law? I wish there were no rules. I would like actually to be a maker of the law here in the house. I would like to say, when I have to be home at night, not my father, not my mother. Did you ever have in your heart that you said about original sin, That was the sin of Adam. That is not my sin. But that is the sin of Adam. But if you find in your heart a desire against the law of father and mother, a desire that you may make your own law, that you may be a law unto yourself, then you may find that original sin of Adam in your own heart. That is one of the most fundamental sins of mankind, that he rebels from being under the law. That is the active rebellion that is living in the heart of the natural man, and that has come not out of that heart originally of man, but that has come by the instigation of Satan. Outside of that temptation of Satan, such an idea would not have entered in the heart of our first parents, because their disposition that was one of life. Thus, that desire that there should be no law, that I would not have to be under law, that I would not have to be obedient, that is a desire that arises out of hell. And that is a desire that is living in the natural man. And yet, at the same time, it is against the very nature of man as he was created. And something of the sparks of this are also left, because when we look at a child, then we see that a child, though he rebels against law, yet he is not happy except he be under law. Because a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And there is when a child he has no rules, and a child he has no law, then a child is out actually of his waters, even as a fish out of water, according to the way that he has been created, because he was created to serve. He was created to obey. He was not created to be a god unto himself. Who has given us law? That law that has been given to us by God Himself. He is our lawgiver. Every rebellion against law in our heart is a rebellion against God. The laws of father and mother, it is possible that they are unjust. It is possible for a father with his law to provoke a child to anger when a father says, no, you need to be home by 8:30 in the evening, every night. Well, then it is far possible that he is provoking his children unto wrath, we read in the Word of God. But God's law, that is only good. Do you know how good that law is? When we were created, then that law was able to give life unto man. It was by that law of God that man was able to earn life for himself. Does that not now speak then of the beauty, of the greatness, of the holiness of that law of God? But what do we read here? We read, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What is that? That is a lesson. That is a lesson that we need to learn in our life in preparation for the knowledge of Christ unto the knowledge of the Father. That first use of the law, in order that we may attain life by that law, that use of the law that has been abrogated, how? By sin. And now that second use of the law, that awful use of the law that is left, what is that use? That is the knowledge of sin that we have earned for ourselves. Death. That threefold death and the curse by the law is the knowledge of sin. That is the only way that a man can learn his sin. There is no other way. That is what we read in the Bible. Because where there is no law, there is no transgression. Thus, there can be no other way to learn our sin but by the law. Thus, what place does the law have in our life? Because the Apostle Paul, he says, I was alive without the law once. Then the commandment came, and sin revived, and I died. That was necessary in his life. A knowledge of sin. Why? Because it was a knowledge unto the Son. And that knowledge unto the Son was a knowledge unto the Father. But let us sing 389:1-5. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws no man is justified. 1:5 of 389. by the law is the knowledge of sin. Did we ever receive the knowledge of sin by the law? The rich young ruler did not receive the knowledge of sin by the law. He had lived with the law all his young life. And when he came to the Lord Jesus, he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth up." Thus he did not learn any knowledge of sin by the law. Why not? Because he was ignorant of the spirituality of the law. That is the case of all men by nature. That is why we are able to relieve our burdens in this city of morality with Mr. Legality, with Mr. Civility. Say, "I am not more of a sinner than most in this world. Pretty good person. I'm civil. I'm nice to my neighbor." And so we end the matter. Felix trembled when Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. He trembled. Why? Did he receive the right knowledge of the law? No. But he trembled because his conscience spake to him, which is again the common lot of all men in this world. There is not one, hopefully, that does not sometimes tremble at the law. But when that spirit of the law is making the application of that law in our heart, then a man learns the knowledge of sin. Did we ever? You say, how then does that go? Often, the Lord is stopping a person, young people, in their youth. As a young man, as a young woman, as a young adult, the Lord, he says, "Thus far and no further. You will not go on your way in this way anymore, not from this day forward." What way? There are two ways in general that a man walks by nature in this world. He walks in outward sin, or he walks in a way of religion. There is a great difference outwardly between these persons, but not a great difference inwardly. That does not mean, young people, that you ought to consider yourself free to walk in an outward sinful way just as well as to walk in an outwardly religious way. Because there is much sin that the Lord is preventing when he will put his wall and fence of external truth around us. But Saul of Tarsus, he was a very religious man who could honestly say of himself, "I have walked in all good conscience before God until this day. Can we say this? Saul was a very sincere man, but he was sincerely wrong. And he needed to be stopped upon his way, just like every other man needs to be stopped upon his way. And the Lord did stop him. How did the Lord stop him? The Lord, he spoke to him out of heaven. The Lord Jesus appeared to him, the Son of Man. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Say, is that the law? Christ appeared to him. Did he learn the law then from that mediator? What does Paul himself say? He says, the commandment came. Sin revived, and I died. Thus, he himself says, it was by the law. Christ did not appear to him in that moment as a mediator. No, Christ came to him in that moment as a judge. Why persecutest thou me? It would become different for Saul after 3 days, where Christ would appear unto him as a mediator, and where his soul was delivered. But first had to come the knowledge of sin. Manasseh, he was a very wicked man. How did the Lord stop him? The Lord brought him into prison. There the Lord made him to consider his ways. There the Lord made him to remember God. There the Lord brought him on his knees. There he began to pray. You ever begin to pray? How often must Manasseh not have said with David, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Oh, we will never be sorry for sin that we have not committed. A man needs to be stopped. But the Lord is also often convincing a man of sin in a very tender manner, especially when he is convinced in his youth, when he is convinced in his childhood. I have heard an old man once, very old, tell how that he could remember that the Lord stopped him when he was 5 years old. How old are you, boys and girls? 5 years old. Where was he? He was on the floor. He was playing, he said, with his trucks. And there the Lord showed to him his sin. Parents, you have children. They are playing there on the floor. You see them running this way and that way. You think they have no thought. You think that the cry that is in your heart unto the Lord is unheard? 5 years old. Pray on, fathers. Pray on, mothers. Obadiah. What could Obadiah say? He said, thy servant, he has feared the Lord from his youth. Young people, would that not be a wonder if with Obadiah you may fear the Lord from your youth, that you may be kept from walking in those ways which afterwards will only cause you much grief and sorrow. But those persons, they are persons that are often not able to tell of that time, of that moment, that the Lord has stopped them on that way. Because the Lord, we read, He works in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform, the wind that is blowing where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, thou canst not tell from whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Thus, when the Lord is working in such a way, then very often they are not able to pinpoint that moment, that time, that the Lord has first begun to show unto them sin. Very often those same persons, they question. They question the truth of that work of God, because it is not from the beginning so very clear as it was in the life of a Saul, as it was in the life of a Manasseh, that the Lord came to them in that moment and with that particular sin. And yet, this does take nothing away from the truth of the work of the Spirit, because the Lord, He says, that he convinces a man of his sin. Thus, how tenderly did the Lord not convince Ruth of that sin of heathendom, all the sins of that idol worship, to give unto her? Maybe she never knew exactly the moment, but that she may desire and begin to love that God of Naomi. What does the Lord say? He says, I drew them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. And so that grief for sin that is born in the heart and that is taught to love the Lord. Many times the Lord is beginning with a particular sin in the life of a person, an actual sin in the life of a person. I heard a man once say that he had slandered his brother, and then the Lord came with those words from Psalm 50. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. And then he spoke of that arrow that penetrated into his heart because of his sin, a particular sin that he had just finished doing. But it does not stop there. It does not stop with one sin, because what does the Lord say? He says to his people, he says, turn thee yet again, and I will show thee more abominations than these. Thus, that is the life of that people. The more that the love of the Lord is drawing them to that law, the more that that law of the Lord is opening unto them their transgression. Why? Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thus, we are not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners. That is who we are. And that is now that lesson that needs to be learned in our life. That is that our whole existence, our whole being, that is nothing but sin. What is the Lord? How does the Lord describe sin in His Word? He calls sin sometimes a transgression. Thus, that we have disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. But sin is also called many other things. Sin is also called unfaithfulness. Sin is also called a perversion, a distortion of our very nature. Then we begin to turn again, time and time again, to see more and more abominations. Then we begin to believe more and more of the distortion, the perversion of our very nature. Sin is called in the Word of God a missing of the mark. You miss the mark sometimes, young people. You go hunting, you miss the mark sometimes. And when you miss that mark, will you not think to yourself, what is the mark? What is the mark? What is the mark of my life? Why did the Lord create me? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Do I honor the Lord with my life? Do I love the Lord in my life? Or do I miss the mark? Do you know what God's Word calls sin? Vanity. Vanity. Did you ever feel it? Did vanity, did emptiness, the lack of substance, did that ever become the sin of your life? Thus the Lord is leading from particular, from outward sins, from acts, from thoughts and deeds and words, is leading further. And He is causing a man to see something of the inmost recesses of his heart. What are now the motives? What is actually the whole disposition of my entire being? Oh, my heart, it is a cage of unclean birds. Here is that necessary instruction. The necessary instruction in order to make room, that a man may despair, so completely despair, of receiving that life again by the law, that he may be cut off therefrom, that all his hope and all his expectation by means of that law may be so completely done away that he may be sitting in his filth, that he may be sitting in his guilt, that he may be sitting in his hopelessness, hopelessness, hopelessness. Why? That there may be a little place for the mediator. That there may be a place in his heart for the Lord to open the heavens and for the Lord to reveal to his soul a new way, a living way, a way wherein he may receive a hope that never dies. Do you know what the bride says of him? He says he is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. He is altogether lovely. Why? Why? But what does she say? She says, I am black, but comely. Thus, it was not just the sentimental feeling that she had in her heart for Christ, but all his comeliness and all his ruddiness that was all over against that backdrop of the blackness. The blackness of that bride. And that was a blackness that she had learned how. You know now, children, how did she learn to say, I am black? There's only one way, right? By the law is the knowledge of sin. In order that we may come to see the comeliness, to see the beauty, and to love and to need that blessed mediator. O congregation, you say, I do not feel my sin. I do not have that sorrow over sin that I need to have. Is that not awful? Is that not a horrible, horrible confession? Does not that speak about death? Utter death? That a man doesn't feel? Say, what can I do? Well, is there nothing to do? Is there nothing to do? Or is there no place to go for that knowledge? That true saving knowledge of sin? Who must instruct in that? Is that not the work of the Spirit of the Lord? And then the means? You go to the doctor sometimes also when you are well, do you not? When you are well? Why? Well, you say, I just want the doctor to check. Just check me. Why? Well, maybe there is something. I don't feel it yet. Then you say, doctor, examine me. Examine me and tell me honestly. If I don't feel it, if I don't see it, then look, search, and search, and see. Why? Why do you want a doctor to search you, to examine you? Well, you say that I may see, that I may know my sickness, if it is there, O congregation, the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord, that is its awful use to open up. To open up that filth and to show unto us the wretchedness, the guilt, the pollution that lives inside. Oh, take then that law. No, not that we may be saved by that law, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now take up that law for that knowledge. When we say, I do not have that knowledge, then we need that knowledge. Take up that law. Lay it before the Lord. That Spirit of the Lord who is able to take that law, that commandment, that it may come into our heart. That sin may revive, that we may die, in order that we may live. Say, O Lord, search me, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way everlasting. That is the end. That is the purpose. That is Christ, who can bring us again unto the Father. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot be delivered by it, but we must be exposed by it, in order that that blessed ark may be seen in the right light, show to us our sin, and show to us that judgment, that we may believe it, and that we may enter into that ark before the rains come, and before that door is shut, and before that it is forever and forever too late, and that we perish in the sight of the Mediator. And wilt thou look upon us in thy mercy, young and old, that the thoughts of thee may fill our hearts and minds in the week to come. Spare us in all our ways. Prosper the work of our hands, and that we may not cleave to the things which are perishing. And wilt thou help fathers and mothers? Remember all that labor in the way of the offices of the church. Be with the school board who hopes to meet, and those that are called unto that work. Give them strength, give them wisdom, and give thy power to help when they cannot help themselves also in the circumstances. Forgive thou all our sins and receive our humble thanks for all thy help. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 384. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1 through 5 of Psalter 384. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.